2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Nightside. This is the Nightside Project.
Come to the coast, we get together, have a few laughs.
Nightside on KSL. Credibility, also absurd news.
Alex, as with everything else, I will eventually be proven right on this.
And as usual, you'll be super annoying about it.
The Nightside Project. Finish the day happy, with Ethan Millard and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome on into the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery. Thanks so much for listening today.
Wait, what's... I don't know. I didn't catch my last name there.
Alex Keery.
Alex Keery.
Alex
cabinet.
Keery. So, check this out.
What's up?
I want to ask you a little pop quiz.
Okay.
How many movie trailers are shown... From your experience, how many movie trailers do you think are shown ahead of a movie?
Four to five.
When you go to the movie theater.
Four to five.
That's a really good guess. But for AMC, Regal Cinemas, and Cinemark Cinemas, it is between five and eight.
Wow. I will say there are times that I've been that I go, oh, my gosh. They still say this preview select audiences or whatever, and I'm like, why are they showing
more?
Why are we doing this? Like, and the other thing is that I think that the dramatics of every, I don't like trailers.
6 in 10 Americans agree with you, Alex. 6 in 10 Americans say that we need fewer trailers. That between 1 and 3 is an ideal number of trailers.
Yeah, and look, everybody wants to see the big ones and everything, and I mean, they're essentially commercials to come back to the movie theater. So I see where they're doing it, but I'm also like wondering if at some point you have preview fatigue and then people start punishing you for it.
I love trailers because they're massively entertaining. I love to watch them.
They're all the same.
They're not the same.
Yeah, the dramatic ones have
No one shows you 8 movie trailers in a row. The same movie trailer.
Hold on, there's always the music that you get out of these trailers now is just there's like one piano note, you know, and it's like I thought I'd never see her again.
Yeah,
right. And then it starts getting a little bit faster, and then smash cuts all these things. You've seen a million of those,
and then a follow shot of
right.
someone running through the woods.
Right, and then it's like. He just became a father. And then it's like, Martin Lawrence, no! You know?
and then it's that Salisbury Hill song to Peter Gabriel.
Yes. And then it becomes like, Huey Lewis and there's, don't need money! Don't. I don't know. But bottom line is I could make trailers for you. In fact, people go on the internet and they make really, really good trailers.
I think everyone's being just complaining for the sake of complaining.
Well, it's not because you go this. No, it is not. I will say here's what it actually works out for me for. When my wife goes, "Hey, we're going to catch a movie. Do you want to meet us?" And we're going to do the So there was one time there was a football game. It got over at like 5, mm-hmm. and she's like, "What if we did a movie at like 5:30?" And I said, "Perfect, because by the time I'm done, I'll get to the movie theater. It'll be 5:50, mm-hmm. and the movie won't have started yet. And you can guarantee 20 minutes of nothing going on before the movie. That's how long these trailers are going.
Well, then that works out for you because you've gotten assigned seats.
That's
now.
What I'm saying.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. That's the only time it works out for me is that
I
go,
"Oh,
the movie's at 5:50, so you mean the movie really is at 6:20?
No.
Yes, it is. That's when it starts. I mean, if you really looked at the runtime on those trailers, it's seriously 15 to 38 minutes.
Let me tell you, though.
It's a 47-minute trailer.
I don't even mind the ads because you see a lot of ads, too.
Get in your seats and eat a popcorn. Go out and... Yeah.
For everything.
Please turn off your cell phone.
Here locally, we have ads for Questar Gas all the
time,
right? Or Dominion Energy.
Dominion Energy.
Because you got your fuel saver guy.
You got your car dealerships will pop up.
And I don't
an
even
amazing
mind,
experience.
You know,
fill in the blank auto.
Let me tell you why I don't mind any of that. I don't mind the ads. I don't mind the trailers. I don't mind how long they go. I don't mind that they even exist. I'll tell you why. It's because at the end of the day, I'm sitting in a dark air-conditioned room in a what are today now fairly reasonably comfy seats. I've got a giant thing of popcorn.
Mm. Do you do the popcorn?
Oh, my gosh.
You do.
I get the giant one, and then I get the refill.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I embarrass myself. You get the wilted lips, the one where you're like, you've had so much salt, they start to crinkle up around the edges.
Oh, no. Yeah,
the last
quarter of the second bucket is literally painful. Literally painful.
But it's good. But it's worth it.
Oh, so worth it. I love it. We call it popcorn for dinner. And we don't have dinner. We
do
just
do the thing where
it.
You, is it, can you do your own, can you dispense your own butter? Your own
no.
clear liquid?
No. Motor oil?
Yeah. I love when that stuff. No, you can do it now where you can dispense your own. At almost all the megaplexes.
Do they?
Yeah.
No, I haven't crossed that bridge. I prefer a professional to handle it. I'll salt it.
Salting is.
But I won't do the butter. That's best in the hands of a professional. I don't want to screw that
up. So the story you did was nobody likes trailers, and your point is you still like them,
I just thought that it was interesting that.
Leave them alone. I like the trailers.
6 in 10 Americans think that we're seeing too many trailers. And
I agree.
All I want to say
because
is.
Because I think at some point you punish the movie theater for showing you too many of those.
Well,
you end up
what?
Not liking the movie that you start watching because you're like, this is stupid. We see so many dang trailers.
But see, at this point, I believe anything about Americans. 6 in 10 Americans love to stand on their heads and whistle Dixie.
Oh,
I believe
come
it.
On.
6 in 10 Americans believe there's literally a man in the moon. Okay. He's made out of cheese.
We're going to take a break right here. You know what that means? I'm going to play this music.
I've got a Zen headline when we come back.
Millard's got a Zen headline. To get you through the rest of the day and to finish your day happy or to start your day happy or to be in the middle of your day happy. I don't know when you listen to these. And it's none of my business. All right? Don't let anybody tell you when you can listen to the Nightside Project. Take the break here. Zen Headlines. Next, right here, it is Nightside Project.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I found this Zen headline on Twitter, and it's actually a photograph of an article. It was shared by a woman named Nicola Megan, and so I passed along as the Zen headline. I thought, you know, this is awesome.
What is it?
I'm just going to read it.
Okay.
Missing woman mystery solved.
Ooh.
A group of tourists spent hours Saturday night looking for a missing woman near Iceland's Elgia Canyon, only to find her among the search party. The group was traveling through Iceland on a tour bus and stopped near a volcanic canyon. Soon there was word of a missing passenger. The woman, who had changed clothes, didn't recognize the description of herself and joined in the search. The search was called off at 3 a.m. when it became clear the missing woman was, in fact, accounted for and out searching for herself.
That's a pretty good search. 100%. Look, they did it.
They did it. I just love that, though, because they knew everyone in the tour group knew each other well enough to recognize that something had changed.
Right.
No one could put their finger on it. Because what happened is this woman changed her clothes. And then everyone was like, oh, man, where's that lady that was wearing the red jacket? She's gone.
We
can't find her anywhere.
Because you do. You tell your brain to recognize that, to look for that thing.
And then that woman who had been wearing that previous, she's like, oh, my gosh, there was a woman with a red jacket. Not thinking it was her. Believing that there was someone missing. 3 a.m. You think they kicked her out of the tour, though? I mean, 3 a.m. is pretty late to realize your mistake.
I look at it and I think there's a time where I'm going to be lost. As an adult, you don't lose yourself very often. That's the thing. Or you're not considered lost very often as an adult, right? Because you think of people being lost, you think of
the kids.
The kids.
Yeah, it's hard to be lost as an adult unless you are, like, in the woods. Wilderness.
Right. And we've seen those where people get saved and everything. But I just love the idea of going out and doing a search party and being a part of the search party and finding yourself.
You know what, though? No one in
you know what? It's a metaphor, Ethan. Finding yourself.
You did it.
With some friends. Because I think we've all...
You put the Zen in Zen.
I think we've all, see if you can follow me, have changed clothes in our past.
Wow.
Maybe we aren't recognizable to our friends.
This is powerful. maybe we don't even recognize ourselves.
Hate it.
This is powerful.
Hate
Alex.
It.
Let me tell you what, though. This woman, this tour group, never in Boy Scouts. This story validates a couple of things. Number one, the buddy system.
Yeah, you got to
get buddy.
Yeah, you got to hang out together.
Number two, no one counted the number of people on this tour group.
Now that's a problem too.
No one went through and said, "Okay, there are 30 people."
I think there are a lot of folks that do this whole like, they go, "Well, they're adults; they need to figure it out." But that doesn't necessarily solve all of it, right? I mean, you got to, if you're on a tour group, okay. So I know you always make fun of the Fillmore, not make fun of, but we talk about the Fillmore,
the Chinese buffet.
And when those,
the mystery of the Chinese buffet.
Yeah, I still have never seen it open.
No.
We drive by, and I see it, and I've seen the Chinese buses emptying into it, and I'm going down the freeway, but then every time I've stopped to get gas at Maverick across the street...
It's a vacant building.
Right. But it's I think like it they goes, know. They call them, right? And they say, "Hey, we got that tour bus showing up, and it's worth it for them." Whatever.
Cheryl Worsley went there.
She said she ate there. Yeah.
She sent me a photo of her and... And Mike a number eating. Of other people.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, it was worker. It was people from the office.
Spencer.
Then Spencer Hall was there.
And Spencer Cox.
No. The lieutenant governor went?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they'll open it for him for sure. But like I said, so I saw this, and I was thinking to myself, why would you go on, and tell me if this is a thing. I would never go on this tour. But a tour bus was in Utah County before the BYU game the other day, and they're piling out, and this is at 11 a.m. Okay. They're piling out of this bus, and on the side of the bus, it's all in Chinese, Mandarin, I don't know, Cantonese, I'm not sure which one.
Okay.
But it wasn't Japanese or Korean. It was Mandarin.
Chinese, yeah.
Yeah. So the bus is piling out. I'm on University Parkway, and I'm waiting to get to the stadium. There's some traffic. The bus is just unloading everybody that they could into the Outback Steakhouse there in Orem.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, and all I could think of was, this is where they're like, and we went to Big American Steakhouse. Big American Australian Steakhouse, right?
Yeah.
And just imagine, like, and I'm sure the tour guide's like, they eat this stuff up. They love it.
Shrimp on
Bobby, right? I mean, like, I don't know what they do to, like, get them all excited. But at the same time, we've all been just, like, subjected to whoever takes you wherever on that tour.
They've got so many, you know what, though?
But the amount of fanny packs was
tremendous. I don't understand why this hasn't happened yet. Because the number of tours coming in from Asia through Utah now is just astonishing.
Amazing. They start in Vegas.
I don't know why we haven't seen more like explicit catering to this population of tourists. That Chinese buffet is from what I've seen the only establishment along I-15 that is just going after that crowd.
You know what? I'm going to start a new company called Explicit Catering, and all the workers are just going to say the F word and give people like really an American, quote unquote, American experience. Explicit catering.
But you could have
hot dogs, nachos.
But imagine if you could do some kind of thing, but everything was in Chinese, and you could do like a show, and it was hosted in Chinese, and. You know, all the menus, everything.
Sounds terrible.
But people would totally.
So you go to China, you go to China, and you want to have a show that's all in English, and they're like, "I made a hamburger for you." Like, really?
Well, but don't you think? But hold on a minute.
Like a bad.
Like
let's
say you went to China, and you wanted to go, and you went and saw a show that showcased Chinese culture of that region. Okay. Which would be more valuable to you? If it were 100% in Chinese or
I get it.
Hosted in English and explained to you in English. That's what I'm saying. Is you could do a whole show about Western America, but it's hosted in Chinese, but it's real. Like it's real.
So you have like the showdown at the OK Corral, but in Chinese.
Yeah.
Wyatt Earp son.
It's Japanese.
Oh, sorry.
Putting son at the end of it is Japanese. But yes, this is what I'm talking about. I'm actually surprised that no one in Utah, with all of our entrepreneurial spirit, that no one has come up with this idea that, hey, man, let's make this happen. You know why? There's no downline.
Oh.
No, Utah entrepreneurs want a part of it.
Multi-level Chinese marketing. We'll figure it out. All right. We're going to take the long break here. We'll be back for another episode. Thanks for downloading these. And we will keep churning these out. A few of these a week, as we've promised to do. And we've mostly kept with that. So, yeah. Look for the next episode downloading near you. And thanks for being part of the program. We'll see you next time.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.